I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks with corner safety and some other spots up for grabs tonight, and then all the backup spots. And, of course, you got Johnny Wilson injury. We got a lot to talk to Elliot about. Elliot, good morning, buddy.
What's up? Good to have you back, man.
Thanks, man. How is this show without the hammer? I know everyone's going to say it was a major upgrade, was it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously James crushed it. So I think it was as good as everyone expected it to be. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Elliot, it's an intriguing third preseason game, and not in the old sense, which was, hey, I get to see my starting quarterback into the third quarter, and I get to see all my players in the third. And all right, it's not that anymore. But I would say it's more intriguing than the uber-modern sense of the third game because there are, like, spots totally up for grabs. So, corner. Who's the best corner, and what the heck's going to happen, Elliot? I mean, who is going to win this job, and how concerned should Eagles fans be about that player?
Yeah, so the quote that keeps sticking in my head when it comes to the cornerback position is Vic Fangio saying probably about a week ago at this point that you would hope at this point of camp someone would have stepped up and won the job, right? Yep. Like, that's normally what you see with these training camp battles, and that's what we've seen through the years with the Eagles. That has not happened at cornerback. If anything, people have dropped out of the race because of, you know, not having great camps, one of which is Kelee Ringo. He probably won't play tonight. He has a quad injury. You wonder if he'll even be on the team through final cuts or if he's a trade candidate. Yeah, I think he profiles as a trade candidate for sure. So we'll see what happens with him. But in terms of the team and the starting cornerback, I think it's probably going to be Adoree Jackson. He's taken the far majority of first-team reps over the past week or so, especially over the past two or three practices. So I don't think he'll play tonight, but the player that could help himself would probably be Jacorion Bennett, because I think he will play tonight. And if anyone beats out Adoree, I think it'll probably be him.
So, Elliot, let's go back a bit. I hear you. These are the guys that are the options. Let's talk about players that could have been options. Slay, and it was just brought up by a caller, Isaiah Rogers. Do you think Howie made a mistake? I know he's been on a heater for a couple years. But do you think he made a mistake letting both walk?
So I do understand the Slay thing. I would have kept him, but he is older. You know, I get that. To me, and I said this earlier in the offseason, we talked so much about, you know, which free agent will they miss the most. I've always thought it was Isaiah Rogers, and I do think that was the mistake they made. You know, he did not get a ton of money. I understand that in Howie's job, you know, you need to set a price, and if that price is above it, you sometimes you just have to walk away, right? Like, I get that. But, man, with the camp Keeley has had, I don't think they signed Adoree Jackson if they have Isaiah Rodgers. Like, I think not bringing him back for the little amount of money he had or that he got was probably a mistake. But they still have time. Like, they could go out and trade for a corner between now and week one. And corner is somewhat of a plug-and-play position. Like, I think if you can go get someone, you know, that's a high-profile name or someone where you're giving up a third-round pick, like, the starting corner could still very much not be on the roster.
How much does it hurt? Let's talk about the safety spot. How much does it hurt Sidney Brown that Andrew Mukuba was drafted when Vic Fangio was a coach here?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely not ideal for Sidney. But what's helping Sidney is Andrew Mukuba can't stay on the field. You know, mm-hmm. it's been about less than a month of training camp. He suffered two injuries. I don't think he'll play tonight. And they're going to start practicing for the Cowboys like a week from today, probably, or at least, you know, get back on the field. So at this point, I would think Sidney Brown is going to be the starting safety week one against Dallas. But, you know, again, I don't get to rewatch the tape of these training camp practices. So maybe he's having a better camp than I see with my own eyes. But it just feels like both Sidney and Adoree have fallen into these jobs as opposed to going out and, right. and taking them. Like, it's not like every day I'm leaving practice. And it's not just me. Other reporters, like, very rarely is it, wow, what an awesome day Sidney had, or Adoree made play after play. So maybe the coaches are more impressed behind the scenes, but Sidney feels like he kind of has this job by default as opposed to going out and winning.
So, Elliot, let's big picture these two spots together. How much of a – look, you still have the main four defenders from last year back. You got Ball and you got Carter. You got Cooper DeJean and Quinion. You got four real stars. But not ideal to have two question marks and in the same position area, you know, defensive backfield. How concerning do you think it is for Vic Fangio, for Eagles fans, that this is the reality as we now know it?
I think it's definitely concerning. Like, you know, not having a good corner opposite Quinion almost takes away some of the benefit of Quinion, because they're just never going to throw the ball to his side of the field. So he's not going to have a chance to make plays. Like, so, you know, I think with the safety two especially, you're talking about two out of the four spots. And even when Cooper DeJean goes in there in base defense, he's never played safety in the NFL. Like, he's played nickel, and he's played obviously at a great level. But when he's in there, we don't know how he'll do. It just, it feels like for a team that is definitely, I would say, one of the top five in the NFL, there are way more questions on defense, you know, than you would think. So I definitely think the play of the corner and the safety spot is a concern going into the season.
The edge rushers, is there any progress in terms of guys distancing themselves, setting themselves apart? We know Nolan Smith, we know Jalix Hunt, but then we were told that this crop of guys, Uche and Patrick Johnson, Azeez Ojulari, the Okoronkwo, even O'Shawn Mathis, it doesn't feel like, once again, guys have distanced themselves in the way that we would traditionally hope. Who's tempting? Who's leading the show? Who do you expect to see big things from tonight, Elliot?
Yeah, so I think they're in different groups right now. There's the starters and Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt, and I would put Josh Uche more in that group than I would the next group. I think Uche has been one of the brighter spots of training camp. I think he's earned that third role. There have definitely been multiple days at camp where I leave going, okay, Josh Uche had a good day. So I think he's that third guy. Azeez Ojulari had a rough start to camp. I think he has improved as camp has gone on. He had a good preseason game, one of like the only few that had a good preseason game against the Browns. So I think he is probably that number four. And then the fifth spot is up for grabs tonight. Patrick Johnson has had an outstanding camp. He seems to always just make plays in preseason games, but he also always seems to get cut all the time. So, you know, like, maybe they will get rid of him, but I think he has a shot at that fifth job. Antoine Powell-Ryland, the rookie out of Virginia, has not really had a camp where he's flashed. Tonight might be his final chance to go out there, because the other thing about tonight is, if you have a good game, like, you might not make it through waivers. So it's not just about impressing the Eagles. It's about impressing other teams and forcing the Eagles to keep you so that they don't risk it. But yeah, I think those are the top four, with Patrick Johnson probably the fifth right now.
How many guys are just going to completely sit out the game tonight? How many guys are going to be dressed and ready to go tonight. It's got to be such a small number. And these players, they're going to be doing everything. They're going to be covering the kicks. They're going to be covering the punts. It's a very small, exclusive group tonight, isn't it, Elliot?
Yeah, I mean, obviously none of the starters will play, so that's a good portion right there. And that's the other thing with tonight. Like, in a lot of ways, the most interesting part of the game will be pregame. Like, who is playing? Who's not? Is Sidney Brown in uniform? Is he not? Is Adoree Jackson in uniform? Like, those are the main things for the game. But you're right. The players that will play are going to get a lot of time out there to impress the coaches, because they're going to do special teams. They'll obviously play a ton of snaps at their natural position on offense or defense. So who doesn't play tonight is intriguing. And then once the game starts, yeah, you're right. They're going to play a ton of football.
Elliot with us here on a game day, Eagles and the Jets tonight, preseason game three. All right, so Beat the Hammer coming up in about 5 minutes, maybe even less than 5 minutes. Contest line right now, we'll take the fifth caller. Caller five on the contest line, 215-988-1258. You will get to compete versus the Hammer if you're the fifth caller, 215-988-1258. Elliot, Jahad Campbell and Trott Jr. So the simple view may be Jahad Campbell just gets the job because he's should be better. First-round pick, the whole deal. But there is also the possibility of his versatility helping Trott Jr. get on the field when the Eagles play the Cowboys. How does that battle size up? And to me, it's not just one versus the other. It also involves the edge rushers and whether Campbell will get some time there and some series where Trott Jr. is in the game when the Eagles play the Cowboys and the Chiefs. How do you size that up?
Yeah, so we've talked about a few positions and guys not stepping up and playing well. That's the exact opposite with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. He's had an awesome training camp. Like, he's done everything he can, in my opinion, to keep Jahad Campbell off the field. He's been consistent. He makes great plays against the run. He's had a few good pass breakups, and I think he's one of the few players that's had two good preseason games. So he's done everything he can. But the reality is, you cannot have Jahad Campbell on the bench. He is too athletic. He's too much of a disruptor. He's already saying the game is slowing down for him, and you can see that in practice with the way he gets out ahead of certain routes in the running game, in the passing game, the way he meets Saquon at the hole in the running game where he knows where it's going. So they've had gotten awesome play from their linebacker positions. I think you're right that the benefit of Jahad is you can move him all around and you can use him in different ways. So maybe there are going to be some snaps where Trotter Jr. is on the field. But on a defense where there's so many questions, like, it is a good problem to have. I think they can feel very confident about Campbell and Trotter out there in addition to Vaughn.
I'll say this, Elliot. I'll be surprised versus Dallas, which is in 13 days. I'll be surprised if Trott Jr. doesn't play. I mean, he's going to play on special teams, but
I think he'll be on the field on defense. I agree.
I do,
but
too.
They'll find moments to get
him in there. Yeah.
Agreed. I think Campbell will play more snaps, but I agree Trotter's played well enough to be out there.
All right, so, Elliot, we don't normally talk much about, you know, blocking wide receivers, but you got to give Johnny Wilson credit for what he did last year.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of reasons why the Eagles were a great running team. He wasn't the main one, but he was a factor. How much does it hurt the run game to lose him for the season? He was a player that played the fourth most snaps of the wide receivers last year and was a good blocker for Saquon. What do you make of it?
It definitely hurts. And, I mean, he played more than I think people remember. He was on the field for roughly a third of the offensive snaps last year. So he was, you know, out there, and to your point, like, was part of the reason they were such a good running team. Now, the problem with him out is they don't really have other players on the roster with his skill set. You look at, obviously, the top three, A.J., Devontae, and Dotson, you know, that's a separate group. But then the backups, Anaya Smith is undersized. Darius Cooper, if he makes it, and I think
he's not undersized. He's got good size to him for blocking at, like, 210, 215.
I would agree he is big for a small receiver, but he is not the size of a Johnny Wilson. Like, Johnny
True.
Wilson.
Nobody's the size of Johnny Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously the other would be John Metchie, who is also like decent size, but not the Johnny Wilson size. So those three are a little repetitive as backups. Two names I would keep an eye on: Elijah Cook, who has big size, but the other one is EJ Jenkins. EJ Jenkins is a tight end, but he has obviously big size for a receiver. He runs like a receiver. They like him as a blocker. So I think with Johnny Wilson going down, it might increase EJ Jenkins' chance of making the roster, and they can use him in certain situations. So where they use him tonight, where they line him up, will be very interesting to see.
And, Elliot, final thing, you know, third-string quarterback felt like such a throwaway a couple days ago, but now it got more intrigue if Tanner McKee can't be ready week one. Will Tanner McKee be ready week one to be the primary backup? And if not, who would be the number two in 13 days if Jalen gets hurt? God forbid someone's got to go in there. Who's got the inside track right now of the other two guys?
Man, it's a great question, and it's a huge question because it could be the guy two snaps into the game if, God forbid, something happens to Jalen.
I mean, that's what happened with frickin' Jets two years ago. Aaron Rodgers, four plays into the season was done. Right? Yeah. So, like, I know we don't want to see the two young guys in there, but who's been better?
I mean, Dorian Thompson-Robinson has been better than Kyle McCord. Now, since McKee has gone down, it's been exclusively McCord getting those backup quarterback reps. I don't see how you can put Kyle McCord in that game on Thursday night. Like, forget what you think about him as a prospect long term. It's just not fair to him, really, to put him in that spot. So, you know, maybe Dorian Thompson-Robinson is someone. I don't think they'll keep him on the active roster. You hope he gets through waivers. Maybe you promote him if McKee's not ready. And I'm not sure McKee's going to be ready. Like, I think this is a tight call. So would they bring in another quarterback? Like, there are serious questions to be asked about that backup spot heading into Dallas because they don't have, like, a high-quality backup if McKee's not ready.
Yeah. Elliot, good work, pal. Final preseason game tonight. Obviously, one right here on WIP. Merrill, Mike, and Devin on the call. We will talk to you a lot next week and all season. Elliot, we thank you very much. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Elliot.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
So, preseason game number three, which used to be the pinnacle of the preseason when there were four preseason games and starters would not only play, but play, remember this, into the third quarter. All right, so we don't have that anymore. I've adjusted my brain and embraced what we get because it's what we get, and why bang my head against the wall forever with frustration on what used to be. John, this is new for me. You've been telling me to be more open-minded to things. This is one of the examples where I actually think I have been. And I can tell you it's made the preseason process a little bit more enjoyable. Once I realize, just accept what we get and then figure it out from there. So, all right, let's talk about it.
It's not going to make these veteran players become soft and squishy that they're not hitting
it
the same way we used to hit.
And here's the key. the veteran players, the stars, the guys we won't see tonight, the Jalen Hurtses, the Saquon Barkleys, the Jalen Carters, on down the line, they will be helped. We're hurt this year by players that will play tonight. And so we will put, obviously, under the microscope, because this is the last real crack at it in a meaningful way for the corners and the safeties, where I think there's the greatest concern. I'd say the third biggest concern is backup edge rushers. Fourth isn't really what I'd call a concern, but it's intriguing. Who's going to start at linebacker? No one, I think, is freaking out.
I don't find that intriguing at all. That is
why
I think that decision was made the moment Josh Campbell stepped on the practice field. Holy cow. That guy is undeniable. And the sad part about that is Trott Jr. has been awesome.
Yeah, he's done a nice
Trott Jr. is a monster of an inside linebacker. But I don't think he's going to start.
Well, here's the one thing I'll say. So you're probably right, except with this possibility. If the backup edge rushers are so weak that they're not to be relied upon, then Jahad Campbell could be moved to that spot as your third guy there, and then Trott Jr. could get more playing time.
It's too early for that.
Well, look, they play a game in 13 days. So,
Jahad has been sort of pigeonholed, essentially, as an inside linebacker now, not an edge guy,
right.
And maybe that'll come eventually. Right now, that comes occasionally when he lines up and stems up to the line of scrimmage and comes off the edge on a blitz or shoots up the A-gap from his inside backer position. That's how he
gets. But I agree with you. He's a starter. I think that's very, 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 very likely.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Undeniable.
But let's get to the two main spots. And obviously you can weigh in tonight, 215-592-9494. Eagles on the road. It's a road game, so it's not one of those ones where the local folk get to put their eyes at the link on the game and the players. But TV and radio, obviously, to absorb this one. And the two main focal points will be safety and corner. John, which intrigues you the most, which concerns you the most, and who do you think has the inside?
Corner is dicey right now because Ja'Corian Bennett didn't stay healthy, and so the competition never really happened the way it was supposed to happen. At safety, you've got Andrew Makuba, who is banged up a little bit, who felt like he was seizing an opportunity when he had the interception fumble recovery. It seems like he sort of put his stamp on, okay, now I'm the playmaker who always seems to be around the ball. You were looking for someone to distance themselves in this competition. Luck sort of did that,
somewhat.
But you also made the plays.
I agree.
And so I'll give you the edge right now. Oh, now you're hurt.
Right.
Okay, so the injury thing happens again. And right now, injury has interfered with these competitions becoming as robust as I wish they would have. Right now at cornerback, Adoree Jackson is sort of like the default cornerback because he's the vet who knows what to do, and he's in there now and he's not hurt. And that's basically it. I don't know that that makes me feel good about the season, that he won this by default. And I don't know if Howie it's possible that Howie's got his eye on every other, 31 other teams right
Absolutely.
Now to see the big name guys who get cut loose.
Yeah.
I think edge and cornerback and safety, for that matter. I mean, we could be talking about adding names that we're somewhat familiar with, who've been around the block a few times,
right,
who can impart some knowledge to these young players, not necessarily like the top of the front of the line in terms of like athleticism and everything else that they can give you, but maybe they've slowed down a couple steps, but they've got big brains, and that's what we need right now,
so,
especially on the defensive side of things.
A couple things rattling through my mind on this morning of a game day about these positions from the past. So let me give you two things from the past rattling through my mind. One is 2023. Obviously, we knew after 22 they were going to lose players. It's impossible. Look, I want to be very clear. You can't blast Howie Roseman when they lose quality players when it's just because they had so many good players. Okay, you can't do it, nor should you. But I think we know in 2023 he did a poor job with the scraps of dollars that he could put at certain positions. He did a poor job in choosing the right scraps. And again, I'm not saying that's easy, but it is the job if you have to go to the bargain basement to find guys for positions. And in 2023, certain positions, and a lot of it was in the secondary, just destroyed that defense, just destroyed it. And by the end of the year, it was a bad defense. It was just a bad defense by the end of the year. And so, you know, what makes this one a bit different for sure is you have four legitimate stars from last year back. Like, legitimate. I mean, the main four you still have. And the main four, in whatever order you want to put them, Quinyon Cooper, Jalen Carter, and Zach Bond. Star. And there are years in my lifetime the Eagles didn't have a player on the defense of one of their ilk.
And they have them at each level of the defense, too.
They do. So, you know, that's really, 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 really good. But we also know this based on last year. Let's talk about last year for a second. The what I'd call second-tier defenders were outstanding. CJ, GJ, Slay, Sweat, you know, once he got into form, took him a little bit of time to warm up. Milt Williams was outstanding the
whole year. Was awesome.
N'Kobe. So you're talking about, like, that whole chunk currently doesn't exist. So what you have from last year is, like, the tier three guys now, like the Reed Blankenships, you know, try to become a tier two. You know what I'm saying.
But Reed Blankenship isn't a tier three guy in the coaches' minds. The coaches at him.
He's not as good as Darius Slay was.
The coaches have looked at him differently than we have the entire time he's been
here. He's better than he certainly showed in 2023, but no one would say last year he was better than Darius Slay. I mean, nobody would say that.
Well, I think a lot of guys on that team. Darius Slay says that he's the leader of the entire defensive back.
That's a different thing. Leader doesn't have to be the best player.
But there are factors that factor in with Reed Blankenship
that saying,
the coaches prioritize.
That's fine, but
him.
No one's going to say he was better than CJ GJ. You know why? Because he wasn't. All right, so here's the deal. As we get ready for tonight, I think about, let's hope it's not a 2023 type drop off. The other thing I'll say that is, to me, very intriguing about tonight, and I hope I don't think much about this name, but I fear I will, is Slay. So Howie made a decision to get rid of him. And the deeper we get into the training camp, the more, for me, and training camp now officially over, preseason game three. Again, 13 days, guys. I mean, connect the dots. We're getting there soon. Think of it this way. We're 1 week away from Labor Day weekend, which is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then once you get to that Monday, you're 3 days away from a game. So, like, this all happens fast. As of right now, I don't know who the cornerback is, and I feel a lot of us think he may not be starter worthy. Just may not be.
That doesn't mean you go back and rewind and say, oh, we should have kept Slay.
Oh, it certainly makes me. John,
this is the classic example of 1 year early as opposed to 1 year late.
Well, you
really want to hang on to him and pay him again to where he's going. You know that contract will be exhausted before you want
it to
be.
Look, it's a convoluted conversation because you couldn't keep them all. I know this. They essentially chose Goddard over Slay. I mean, it was basically about the same amount of money. One happened.
I don't think you can look at it.
Well,
like
sure you
that
can.
At all.
Sure you
you're
can.
Talking about different sides of the ball.
Well,
you're talking about different circumstances.
You're talking
different
about who to pay.
I don't know that it's as cut and dry as that.
Well, listen, it's not quite that cut and dry, but it's thereabouts.
I mean, the money is what you're talking about, I guess.
Yeah, what's
well,
the salary
about
cap?
Money.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Pro football salary cap. Look, where do you stand on all this? 215-592-9494. John, as we sit here this morning, gut feeling. Yeah. Who starts at corner? Who starts at safety week one, which is in 13 days?
Adoree Jackson is probably going to be the cornerback starter unless we bring in another name that we recognize,
yep.
I think. A guy who we, you know, who's been around. The safety spot, I think Makuba, he's got a soft tissue situation right now.
Yep.
I think it's very reasonable to assume he could be back and healthy enough to play, and that erases the question mark.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Part of this for me is also because, look, we're gearing up for a week one for all the obvious reasons. It's coming soon. It's Dallas. It's the home opener. They get to do the banner thing, all that. And they should win. Okay, they should win. And they probably will win. But week two is a different deal. And I know the Eagles just clobbered the Chiefs 100-0 when the game actually mattered. We all get that. But we also know this. They've lost a lot from that team. And we did not expect that it would be, you know, all these other injuries that have set in, that who knows what that impact will be by the time they play that game. That's the one. That's where it's kind of percolating in my mind also now, week two.
These injuries don't qualify, in my mind, as your run-of-the-mill injuries. These are the end-of-training-camp type injuries, mm-hmm. where you've got old guys who the team doesn't want to push them.
You're not that concerned.
Players, I am not concerned. And I do. I think that the medical staff and the athletic trainers, they have such a great grasp of what these guys need.
I will say this. I wish Makuba would gotten more time
I do too.
To be That's, ready for Patrick Mahomes and those receivers.
I don't,
you know
I don't feel as a fan, I've seen enough of him to feel confident. Right. Maybe he does. Maybe the coaches feel, you know, they've seen enough in practice.
Yeah.
I think that's one where we're going to have to suspend our disbelief because he's just a young kid who's going to make some mistakes on the job. Fortunately, he's got some, you know, smart people
across
from him and Reed Blankenship, etc.
We'll see where you stand on all this.
But 13 days away, Hugh, from Eagles-Cowboys, I heard you guys talking a little bit about week one yesterday. And I know you have a little bit of fear about that game. I personally don't. And when I'm thinking about week one and kind of projecting it toward the rest of the season, it made me think about this division this year. And one of the craziest stats in all of sports is the fact that nobody has won this division 2 years in a row. Since you guys did it in 2003-04, I mean, you were on one of those teams.
Yeah,
you weren't on both those teams. But that's the last time anybody repeated in the Eagle in the NFC East is when the Eagles did it in 2003-04. And I think I will guarantee, I know we're sitting here on August 22nd. There's a lot of football to be played, the whole season to be played. I guarantee you, Hugh, the Eagles are going to win the NFC East. This division is a lock. None of the other teams in the NFC East have a chance. I believe the Eagles are a lock to win the NFC East, and we want to know how you feel. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. I'll lay out some of my reasons in a few minutes here, but Hugh, do you think the Eagles are a lock to win the NFC East?
No, nothing's a lock, man. You know, you're discounting the team that you played in the NFC Championship. You know, I know they're a young team, and, you know, there's a chance there that there might be a sophomore slump for the quarterback. When you look at what happened to C.J. Stroud down there in Texas with the Texans, there's that chance. But I think that they're trying to put that young man, Jaden Daniels, in a position, in a situation where he's going to grow and evolve as a quarterback. They like the fact that he is a mature guy. They like the fact that him and his mother have such a great relationship. So they're going to groom him in a way, and they're not going to put too much on his plate so that – he can have a decent season. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but I think that they are going to be a threat. And if you think they're not, I think that's kind of crazy for you to think that.
Well, I think they have a chance to be a playoff team, but if we're talking about being as good as the Eagles, I don't think they will be, Hugh. I mean, I look at the Commanders. They're dealing with their own drama right now. Terry McLaurin's still not practicing for them. I don't know if they're going to get a deal done. Their defense, I mean, we know their defense isn't good. We look at the Eagles last year. They scored 55 in the championship game. They scored 33 with Kenny Pickett in that game down in Washington that the Eagles lost. Their defense is not great. Their receiver situation, like I said, with McLaurin, they got Debo. I mean, Debo looks like he's put on 30 more pounds this offseason. I don't feel worried about the Commanders. The Cowboys, we'll get into the Cowboys a little later on. They're a mess with this Parsons thing. Jerry Jones can't stop talking about it. The Giants are the Giants. Who knows what their quarterback situation is going to be? I just look at all the teams in this division, and I don't see any way any of them are on the Eagles level or anywhere close to the Eagles level. And I get the Eagles have concerns. Their concerns pale in comparison to all these other teams.
No, I hear you. And the Eagles also are the class of the NFC because of what they did. So now you're getting everybody that's gunning for them. I don't think I could explain to you in a way that you would truly understand how much that means to teams that they're going to be playing against. The fact that, just perfect example, last week, Elliott Shore Parks came on here to talk about how the Cleveland Browns beat up the Eagles. They did that because that was their measuring stick. They wanted to see how good they could potentially be. Now, it might be somewhat delusional because none of the starters played, but that's the momentum that you try to build in this offseason. So when I think about the Washington Commodores and what they did and what they were able to accomplish in one season, you don't think that they're going to be juiced every time they see the Eagles? The Dallas Cowboys, as much drama as they have going on down there, there's still a pride factor that you have to factor into games like this. They're going to come in here and they're going to be ready to play. I don't think that they have enough to beat the Eagles, to your point, but the Philadelphia Eagles are in the same position that everybody's in. Nobody's played in the preseason. So this is the opportunity for you to catch them slipping, if you will. That's the term that we're going to use in this situation, catch them slipping, because they're not up to par. They're not up to speed, and we saw that. We saw it last year in Green Bay. Well, in Brazil, we saw that. So.
Right.
That's why it's too early in the season to overlook anybody, and you have to factor in. Now, they've been little dinks and dunks, little like ticky-tack injuries, except for the receiver. Was it Johnny Wilson?
Johnny Wilson, done for the year.
He's done for the year, but you have to guard against that, too. The first month in the NFL season, in my opinion, is the most crucial, because that can set your team on a positive trajectory or a negative one. And what I mean by that is, you notice how in the first month, there's a rash of injuries. Normally, that's how it goes. Now, I don't know if that's because, you know, guys haven't played, or, you know, that's just how it is. The data is inconclusive on that. But the bottom line is this. There's a chance that things could happen that could potentially derail the season in that first month because they didn't play. And they are trying to catch up to speed, or get up to speed, if you will. So that's why I say you should never overlook anybody, because everybody's going to be in the same position. Like, you're going to go into the game, and there are going to be certain things, like the Eagles wanted to do last year. They wanted to throw the ball. Couldn't throw the ball. So they had to pivot and run the ball. And lucky enough for them that their defense was up to speed enough so that they could sustain that and help them get going late in the game. Because that goal line, I don't know how anybody else felt, but when they fumbled and the Packers were threatening to score and they stepped up, that could have went either way.
Absolutely. And I think it's going to need to probably work the opposite this year, honestly, to be frank, because last year, like you said, the defense kind of held its own until the offense got going. Probably going to need to be the other way around this year, where the defense I could see struggling early on. The offense is going to need to pull more of the weight. But I just look at not just the talent, but also like the organizational, just the way the organizations are run. I look at the Commanders. I look at the Cowboys. They're dealing with major, major drama situations, contract situations right now. I think for the Commanders, too, it's hard to be that team who came out of nowhere to replicate that a second year in a row. Like, typically that doesn't happen. And you look at their offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, his biggest issue in Arizona, rather, like, he had a really good start to his tenure there. But as time moved on, teams caught up. People caught up. And I think when you look at Cliff Kingsbury, you look at Jaden Daniels, I think the league is going to catch up a little bit. And the bottom line is, like, a floor for the Eagles. I see their floor as, like, 10 wins. Like, an absolute disaster for them is them winning 10 wins. And I see for these other teams, their ceiling is basically 10 or 11 wins. I just don't see any way these teams end up beating the Eagles.
No, I get it, but let's be honest. The hot-button topic of this offseason has been Jalen Hurts and what he is.
Always.
This season is going to hinge on what he is exactly. And I know people say, oh, well, we got Saquon Barkley. Now, if I'm a defensive coordinator in this division and I'm going through all the tape in the offseason of Saquon Barkley and some of his majestic runs that he had last year, I'm going to put myself in more of a position to stop that, because he hit the scene last year, and he was motivated and he was dedicated, and he caught some people slipping. I'm going to use that word again. He caught them slipping. So now going into this season, I would imagine that he's going to see a lot of 8-man fronts, 9-man fronts early in the game so that they could take him away and make Jalen throw the football. Now, this is the biggest difference in all of that, is if Jalen can sustain that, because he's probably going to see that more than anything. Because I'll tell you this, TK. When you look at that Super Bowl and the way that he played, I would be willing to bet that more defensive coordinators feel like that was an anomaly than the fact, right?
I'd agree with that, yeah.
So they're gonna shake the dice, they're going to roll the dice, and they're going to bet on stopping the run and making Jalen beat you. Jalen can do himself a huge favor and quieting a whole lot of folks if he goes out there and he plays to the potential that we've seen him play to.
Well, that's another part of it. I mean, we talk about how much we believe in Jalen. If Jalen is a top five quarterback, I mean, this team's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, this team's going to be incredible.
No question about it. And I believe that. I believe that's going to be the case, because it's going to be born out of necessity.
Yeah, and it probably will be. 215-592-9494. Do you believe the Eagles are a lock to win the NFC East this year? I do. Hugh, not quite there. Luke Nichols producing the show today. Where are you, Luke? Is it a lock that the Eagles win the NFC East?
Yeah, it's a lock. The rest of the teams have so many questions against them. Compared to the Eagles, where we're worried about, you know, maybe the offensive line with Dickerson being out, the second corner position, the second safety position. We're worried about that. That's nothing compared to these other teams.
Luke is not as big as his voice he is, though, is he?
No. You'd imagine Luke would be a little huskier.
Bigger.
A little huskier, yeah. Luke is tall and trim.
He needs to grow a beard, though.
You sound like you should have a beard.
Yeah,
Luke,
you should.
I think it's funny if you, I don't, because yeah. it keeps the allure of like you look like I'm. I look like I'm 12. When
you look
I sound
like a, you smoke like a pack of Newports a day. So
two packs usually.
Yeah, two packs.
Poor Luke. He makes his Eagles point, and Hugh just points out his voice.
He sounds like he smokes Newports.
Hugh did say it's his show today.
Yeah,
it's going off the rails.
This is terrifying.
This is my world.
It's his world today. But the Eagles, the rest of the teams in the division are a mess. I mean, the Commanders, their defense is meh. Like you said, teams are going to catch up to Kingsbury. They don't even have Terry McLaurin signed. He's probably going to sign. But as of right now, they don't have him signed. They're going to trade Brian Robinson. They're going with this Bill Kroski Merritt guy as their top running back. The Cowboys are an absolute joke. And the Giants don't know who their quarterback is right now. Jackson Dart looks great, but are they going to start Russell Wilson? And then you got to give Jameis some time because it's Jameis, and he's great. Their defense could be all right, but their offense is terrible. So I think it's finally time to have a repeat division winner. It's ridiculous that we haven't had one in 20-something years. It feels impossible. This is the year the Eagles get it done. The rest of the teams just are nowhere close.
I hope that's the case.
It really is.
But I don't believe that to be the case.
It really is one of the most insane stats in football, like in sports, that four teams. There are only four teams in the division. Mm-hmm. 21 years, nobody has won 2 years in a row?
It's crazy. I think that is attributed to the parity that's in the division that obviously y'all don't see.
Hey, this the year changes you. Every streak's got to be broken at some point.
I mean, I hear you, but I would rather go into this with a little bit more caution than everybody else has.
Oh, come on. Caution?
I'm a cautious individual.
Let's go to someone who always knows how to act. Elliot Shore Parks joins us right now as Eagles camp is officially over. I mean, and it's Elliot's favorite time of the year. It is done, which means it is full steam ahead to week one with the preseason game in between tomorrow night. Elliot, how we doing?
ESP.
What up? How you guys doing? There's no better show to listen to the lead in than you guys. Always never know what I'm going to hear, but I love it every time.
The transitions, I never know where we're going each and every moment.
Exactly. That's on Heartthrob Buzz. He was trying to throw it out there. And I read a story that Sharon Stone said her and Nelly went out on a date. Then I got to thinking about what was it, Basic Instinct?
Elliot, yeah, one date you've dated someone, or does it mean you need multiple dates?
I feel like you can say 3 or 4 dates, I feel like you dated them. One date, I would say it's noteworthy you guys went on a date, but I wouldn't have considered you two like dating.
I agree. I think that's a fair way to frame it.
So since we're here, because this question was asked to me.
Since we're here.
So when if you're hanging out with somebody, because that's what I call it, hanging out, when are you officially dating? Like, because that's been a hanging point for like some folks. When are you officially dating? When do you say you're dating?
So I feel like it's something you have to, and man, let me tell you, I never would have expected us to go this way. But I would say it's probably, I feel like it's something you have to confirm with the person. Like, until you say you're exclusive, I would not say you are dating. Like, I think dating implies you're only seeing that person. So I think exclusive is really where it begins.
No. Gotcha, because I had that conversation the other day.
So as much as Elliot likes the transitions when we go to him, I love how Elliot could just go with whatever the heck we're talking about, and he'll answer as if it's the Eagles.
I mean,
training camp's over now, you know, so what else do we have to talk about?
So speaking of training camp, how did it end? I'm talking about collectively, you know, and I'm talking about basically the offense and Jalen. How did they look?
So I thought yesterday was maybe Jalen's best day of training camp. And I think, you know, there's probably other days he was slightly better when you take into account, like, there was no pads on yesterday. It was a bit of a lighter day of practice, but I thought he was outstanding. He was 14 of 15. He had 4 touchdowns. The ball was never really put in harm's way. And I thought he did yesterday kind of what everybody sometimes wants him to do, which is elevate the play of those around him. Fair, not a criticism of Jalen. Is, you know, he does have a ton of talent around him, and that maybe props him up more than he would be if he played with a bad roster. And whatever you think of that, like, yesterday he did not have all those guys. Like, A.J. wasn't there. Devontae was – or not practicing, I should say. A.J. and Devontae weren't practicing. Lane Johnson wasn't practicing. Landon Dickerson wasn't practicing. Saquon wasn't really involved in the offense. He had an awesome day throwing it to Darius Cooper, throwing it to Anaya Smith, throwing it to Grant Calcaterra. So I don't think, you know, Jalen should be expected to carry a bad team to the playoffs, but it is always good to see him have a great day when those other guys are not there. So I thought it was a really good ending to camp.
All right, that's very encouraging. So glad to hear that. Now, Elliot, the other side of that, though, is that those guys aren't out there. And I saw a couple of days ago you put out something that, you know, it's starting to become a little bit of a concern that they really are not going to have much practice reps. They haven't together. So we're 2 weeks from the opener here, Elliot. How concerning is it that the Eagles' first team really is not going to practice much together and hasn't so far this summer?
I think it's concerning. Yesterday, Nick Sirianni spoke, and he said, I'm paraphrasing here, but roughly, you know, your practice is so you can get sharp and be really kind of locked in on your fundamentals and your details. And I'm just not sure how the starting units on either side can feel at this point. They're really locked in because on defense, we don't even know who the starters are going to be. Once we find out who they are, my guess is those 11 players that will start week one against Dallas will have taken less than 100 snaps together in the preseason. On offense, I'm positive, you know, the starters will have taken less than 100 reps together. So my concern is not that these guys won't be ready for week one. Obviously, you know, you hope they feel better. You hope these are not injuries that linger in the regular season. I get the sense the Eagles are wisely being cautious and making sure they're ready for week one. But a flip side of that is I don't think they're going to have their playing their sharpest football going into the regular season. And we can all sit here and say, well, they were 2-2 last year and they won the Super Bowl. And that's true. But they were very, very close to being 1-3, right? Like, things could have been very different. So it's a tough four games. I'm not looking for style points the first 4 weeks, but I have a feeling this team might be a little slow out of the gate and maybe not playing their best football. So you just haven't practiced together a ton.
So with that being said, Ellie, you know, we got the Dallas Cowboys coming into town. And we know from what we've seen down there in their training camp that they're somewhat of a train wreck. How confident are you that we're going to blow the Dallas Cowboys out the first game of the season?
Well, look, I know you love a nice betting line. I know, you know, a nice parlay. I would say if you look at the spread of that game, it is without question an Eagles line. I think the last time I looked, the Eagles were +7. That tells me Vegas feels very confident that the Eagles are going to win this game going away. Now, what do I think? I think it will be a close game. I don't think the Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders. I don't love the head coach hire, and I get the Micah Parsons thing as a distraction. But when Dak Prescott is on the field, the Eagles struggle against the Cowboys. And the Cowboys win a lot of games when Dak's on the field. So, you know, I would probably lean to take the +7 just because I think they, you know, could win by a touch and only get a field goal late to make it 10. But I'm not, like, going into this thinking they're going to blow them out. I do think this could be a tight game.
Elliot, I'm sure you've been following this the way we have, and I'm sure you have an opinion on what you think is about to come here. Elliot, do you believe Jalen Hurts is going to end up ranked in the NFL top 100? Now, before you answer, I think before the list came out, I was like, well, of course he's going to be on it. He's been on the last 2 years. He's clearly a top 100 player in the NFL. But we're now up to 23 was announced this morning. It was Brock Bowers, 24, Lane Johnson, 23. And I just keep coming back to the voting is done in December, right? So the whole postseason Super Bowl, that wasn't in the minds of anyone because it hadn't happened yet. Do you believe he's going to end up on this list?
It's a great question because, you know, I see when the players do this, they normally do it in December. And I do think there is a perception that the players don't care about this. And I can only speak to the Eagles locker room, but, like, I see them put thought into this. I see them decide who they want to vote for. And I think it could really go either way with Jalen. I think there is, look, he is definitely a top 100 player in the NFL, to be clear. Like, he should be in that top 100. And it could have been the player sat down and said, you know what? The Eagles have won a lot of games. Jalen's the quarterback. I'm going to put him down because a lot of them put him down the year before when he was 15. But when it was taking place, like, that was around the whole passing thing, the AJ, Jalen, you know, controversy that BG, you know, kind of started. Like, so I would guess he's going to be on it, but I don't feel confident in saying that.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's not going to be on it just because he hasn't been named yet. I thought off of last year at the time, like, he'd end up in the top, I don't know, 25 to 40, somewhere in there, and he hasn't been named yet. We shall see.
So the last thing I'll say is, and I'm not a big conspiracy theorist guy, but I do wonder if you're the NFL and you're sitting there and you see he's not in the top 100, like, if this was taken after the Super Bowl, I think he would absolutely be in it. I just wonder if they say to themselves, you know what, like, the Super Bowl MVP not being in the top 100, maybe not the best look, and if they just put him in there.
That would, well, I mean, we never probably would find out.
Yeah, but
that would be wild.
Never find out. It's not like, I mean, the players do the voting. I don't know. I think he belongs in there is, I guess, all I would say.
I agree. It's just, the question is he going to make it? All right, Elliot, let's end with this. A couple days ago, NFL story out of Indianapolis, they're going to start Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback. He won the job over Anthony Richardson.
Cold-blooded.
Would you, if you were the Eagles, would you explore a trade for Anthony Richardson?
Not giving up anything of value. And, you know, I know when the Eagles, when they make trades or they think about making trades or free agents, one thing they do is anyone they know that knows that player, they call that person and try to get, you know, what do you think of this guy? You know, is this someone? And I can only imagine what the phone call between Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen would be. Like, they have a direct line to Anthony Richardson's head coach. And I don't know this, but considering the fact they just benched him, I can't imagine it would be a glowing review that Nick would get from Shane. So if it's a seventh-round pick, a sixth-round pick, sure, but I'm not giving up anything higher than a six. Just because, like, you have to roster the guy, you have to carry him all year, and I just don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze there. So I would probably pass.
All right, Elliot, there he is. Elliot Short Parks list. Elliot, have a great day and the final preseason game tomorrow night. Thank you, Elliot.
Can't wait. Yep, talk to you soon.
There he goes, Elliot Short Parks.
I would take a flyer on the young quarterback.
I would too. And it fits the Eagles' MO. Yeah. They love these former first rounders.
Because what's the most egregious thing he did was say he was tired.
Yeah, and play bad. Yeah, I mean, well, he's been bad.
Okay.
He had a 47% completion percentage. That's Tim Tebow level.
But we've, like, for example, Daniel Jones got a shot, and he got another shot. So, yeah, he just needs a chance to try to redeem himself. The biggest thing he did was say, I was tired. That was egregious. That was crazy.
I've never seen a quarterback pull himself out of a game. I mean, that was – and not for injury. He was out of breath.
So what was wrong with you? I was tired.
You're the quarterback. You play every
– Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Every single snap. We can't do that.
So we've been tracking the NFL top 100,
mm-hmm.
and it is voted on toward the end of the regular season by the players. And one thing we were wondering is, like, you know, Jalen did not have a great regular season last year, and you wonder where Jalen is. So they've revealed up to 23. Lane Johnson was 23. So there are 22 spots left. You tell me, Ike, mm-hmm. With 22 spots left, I came up, including Jalen, with 23 names that I think, if Jalen's in there, have to be in there. So one is going to be left out. So wide receivers, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
They're all in.
Okay, mark that off. Running backs, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley.
Both in.
Okay. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jared Goff had an unbelievable regular season.
40 touchdowns last year, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jalen would be the only questionable one there.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Offensive lineman, Penei Sewell.
Yeah, he's in.
He's in. Fred Warner.
Yeah, he's in.
Okay. For linebackers. Defensive tackles, Chris Jones, Dexter Lawrence.
Both in.
Both in. Defensive end, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby.
Now, TJ Hendrickson, not TJ.
Trey Hendrickson had 17 and a half sacks last year.
Yeah.
Had the best season of his career.
Yeah.
I don't think he can not be in the top 100.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Excuse me. Jack, shut up.
Yes. I believe all those are in.
And then finally, cornerback. This is the only place.
Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right.
Patrick Surtain.
Are you getting emotional?
No, I'm good. Derek Stingley, Sauce Gardner. So Surtain is definite.
Like defensive player of the year. He's a top 10 player.
Stingley was first team all pro last year.
He was first team all pro?
He was.
He's in.
So Sauce is the only one. He was not all pro last year. He was all pro 22 and 23.
And there's no way Sauce goes from being.
So he was in the 30s last year.
He was in the 30s last year.
Yeah, and Jalen was in the 20s. I think this comes down to
Jalen
Sauce.
Jalen was 15 last year.
Yeah. I thought he was in the 20s last year.
I think he was 15.
Okay. So the question is who's out? I really think it comes down to Sauce Gardner and Jalen Hurts.
But see, here's my thing.
All those other guys are definite.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. We're at 23. So I'm trying to think.
How could Jalen, after that regular season, be at top 22?
Right.
In most top 100, I've seen some other top 100 lists. Right. CBS had him in the 50s.
Okay.
Now, by the way, that was like seventh quarterback or something like that. Felt totally reasonable when you looked at the list. And he was not a top 22 player in football last year in the regular season.
No,
he just wasn't.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah, he's probably not on it.
So you think Sauce is on? Unless they didn't know about Stingley. It was his first really good year.
No, I think Stingley being first team all pro.
And he was a first round pick.
He's a top five pick, I believe. Yeah, he's on there. He's probably on there. I was wondering, Sauce, the Jets were so bad last year.
That's the only thing.
I wonder, it could be Sauce this out.
It could be Sauce.
Yeah, could be.
Could be Sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could interesting.
Be. But it would not surprise me if Jalen does not make it. I've thought from the beginning that there could be a chance, primarily because when they do the voting, it wasn't as if he was having a stellar year.
He was even hurt probably when they did the voting too, because he missed the last 2.5 games.
And the narrative on the team had already been established. It was a Saquon Barkley-led offense.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was by then. By got to December, I mean, we were questioning whether or not Saquon was going to win the MVP at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was clearly a Saquon Barkley offense. It didn't feel like Jalen was getting sort of credit or praise for how well the team was.
There's more questions about it than anything else.
Yeah.
So my question to both of you is,
mm-hmm.
I asked people to take the Jalen pledge last week. Yeah. You know, not to care about the list.
Oh, the list.
If he's not on the list.
As voted by NFL players.
Are they going to
melt down?
Yeah, are they going to melt?
Nope.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Okay.
You're going to say players don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
No, but if he was top 10, he'd say they would.
No, I think we've had plenty of reaction to the list.
Mm-hmm.
People at least have time to see this one coming.
Yes.
They know that this is probably the outcome. That he's not going to be on the list.
It's him or Sauce Gardner. It's got to be him or Sauce Gardner.
And to be honest, based on when they did the voting, I don't know if he should be on the list on his play last year. Like, I defended the kid, but I had two eyes last year and said that he didn't have a great season last year. And you needed him to do more of what he did in the postseason. The passing game can't be ranked as low as it's ranked, and your quarterback be ranked that high.
Now, it would be wild. Dak is on the list.
Yeah.
It would be wild for Dak to be on the
list. Well, listen, I would have put Jalen on the list ahead of Dak, ahead of Tua, ahead right. of another quarterback or two that's on there.
Sure.
I would have put Jalen. Yeah. Herbert had a good regular season last year.
What about
Darnold? Yeah, Darnold
had a good regular season last year.
I know.
Man, he did.
I know.
35 touchdowns. Yeah,
you hate Darnold.
Well, he's just I know Sam Darnold.
They didn't put Purdy on there.
No, Purdy's on the list.
Oh, Purdy's on the list?
I think Purdy's on the list.
I don't think Purdy's on there.
I don't know. Yeah, did he make the list?
I'll check. Yeah. I thought Purdy was on the list. Yeah.
People have eyes.
But Purdy's good.
Tua and Dak are probably the ones that Jalen should have been on there ahead of.
For sure.
I mean, Dak didn't even play the whole damn season.
He played 8 games?
Yeah.
By the way,
Tua, I don't remember Tua doing anything.
No.
Because Tyreek Hill was terrible in fantasy football last year.
Well, neither does Tua.
Oh, that's not funny.
That's
man.
Not right.
No. Nope.
That's not right.
We've had a few today.
Yeah.
That maybe should go in the garbage can. Yeah.
You knew that was one you shouldn't have went to, and you still went to it.
And there's one that you said that I didn't even hear that I got to find out what it was. It was during the buzz segment.
Yeah. Yes. By the way, just a quick highlight of the show in 5 seconds.
Okay.
A bang-up job by you two today.
Discombobulated there. Is it Julian? Jesus Christ.
Right. Excuse me.
I mean, total problem.
Is that what you're doing back there? Just picking us apart. Picking us
apart. You sound like the worm with your rights.
Yeah, I needed a little drink of water. Give me a break, man. It's a lot of talking.
Excuse me.
Too much talking, as many people have told us.
All you do is chime in.
Yeah. Yeah. So your voice is fine.
I know.
Yeah. I'd piss AJ Brown off today.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? That's all that happens when you talk a lot. Make AJ Brown mad. So we went to the NovaCare facility yesterday.
Does this count as our big day?
Does it count as training camp day? I don't believe it does.
Lakin's number is still on the line.
Yeah.
It counts or it doesn't count?
It counts, but it should be bigger.
Yes. It's a big one.
Exactly. It's a big interview, obviously.
It's a big. We love talking to Coach Sirianni. Yes. It was a great conversation. I don't think it counts. It's working toward counting. So we went over and we had a really great conversation with Nick Sirianni about a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff about leadership and his time here as a coach. We knew we're not going to get answers on what are you going to do with this player, what are you going to do with that play. So we wanted to find out about his evolution as a coach. And I want you to know we do ask him about Elliott Shore Parks and the training camp stats. So here it is, our conversation with Nick Sirianni.
Oh, camp so far. Good, bet. Like, how do you feel about it so far? Just generally.
Yeah, training camp, you're trying to reinforce all your habits that you want to take with you throughout the entire season. So there's obviously things that there's ups, there's downs. When you're the head coach and the defense looks good, the offense it might not have had a good day and vice versa, right? So, It's a lot of ups and downs. It's a lot of getting things corrected. It's a lot of reinforcing your habits. So anytime you're in the middle of the process, it's a good thing. So we're getting better as days go on, and we're fixing mistakes, and that's the goal of training camp.
So far, what would you say is the best result, the best thing you've seen so far, and what would you say that you think you need to work on so far? The number one thing for both.
Yeah, again, you're looking at, obviously we're not taking guys down to the ground and tackling, but you're looking at angles. I thought our tackling has looked good so far. I think our block destruction on defense has looked good. I think our combo blocks on offense have looked good. Those guys work in good tandem together. We're taking care of the football as ball carriers. I think the guys are catching it good. It's always going to come back to me, the fundamentals of football. And so we're improving on that. We're trying to improve on that every day. And I feel like, as we watch the tape, those are things that we put on the tape, and that's every team meeting. We're going to go through those things. As we watch those, I've been encouraged by that. I've been very encouraged by that. And I can see that our fundamentals are getting better. Something that you don't, what you guys don't get to see is, in training camp, like the guys are coming together, right? That is such an important part, that you're growing together as a team. And I feel like those are things that aren't quite as visible, but the guys are doing a really good job of connecting with each other right now. You know, sometimes it's connecting through celebrating together on the field. Sometimes it's connecting through just being in the locker room and long days together. But sometimes it's connecting through suffering together, the hot days, the long days, the conditioning, all those different things. And I'm encouraged by that as well.
How's it been for you to keep the team sort of focused, motivated, focused on this season, blocking out the noise about things from the past season? How's that been for you as the coach trying to keep your guys on the right line?
I think we just have great guys on this team that have this high competitive, relentless competitiveness. And when you have that, you know, it's easy to keep them focused at the task at hand. Like, we spent a lot of time in the offseason talking about not looking too far into the future, not even thinking about the past, and just being in the moment. And that's really, regardless of whether we won, whether we lost in the Super Bowl, or we lost in the first round, that's really been our message from day one. You have to be focused on where you are at this particular time. Now, sometimes that's easier said than done, but I just think we have the right guys in this building. I can't tell you enough of how competitive these guys are. And that's the biggest thing, right? That they are so competitive that they're trying to get better every single day. They're going out there and competing their butts off every single day. They know what the things that it takes to get to the final destination that they want to get to. But it takes daily work. And that's why I think we just got a really good, mature team.
I think this is your fifth training camp, right? Just going into your fifth year. I know we don't like talking about being Super Bowl champions, but that's on your resume, and you've appeared in two of them. What do you think that you've gotten better at as a coach going into your fifth year now? And what would you like to improve, continue to improve as a coach?
Yeah, you always want to improve on things. There's multiple things that I'm like, man, I can be better at this. Just even in the preseason game the other day, you're looking at the operation, you're looking at things. And there's things that came up. I'm like, I got to do a better job at this. And, you know, you can't be one of the leaders of the football team and be content if you want the entire team to grow. So you're constantly looking for that. I think just big picture is one thing, one area I feel like I've improved on is, you know, when you're kind of involved in the everyday operations of the offense, sometimes you can get zeroed in on, hey, just the offense. And, you know, when I'm able to take a step back from that, I think that that's given me an opportunity just to be, you know, big picture, more big picture aware, which is so important for the head coach. And so I would say, the list goes on and on about the things that I can improve on, but that would be one specific thing that I think I have improved on.
What about the job has been different than you thought it would be? Like, I imagine going into it, you were around it, right? But then being in that chair is different. Has there been anything that's surprised you?
You're saying
it?
As the head coach?
As a head coach.
Man, I guess it's like, I feel like being fifth year, this question, you know, I'm trying to think back. there's so many things, again, that you don't necessarily prepare for as the offensive coordinator, right? Whether that's messaging to the team, whether that's the connection that you have with every single person on the team and every single person in the building, or, you know, media, right? Where you do one media session a week as a coordinator, and then you got to do a media session as your opening press conference and not come off so hot. You know, it could be any of those things, but you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, the job's different, right? The job is just so much different. And yeah, I think I'm settling in, but I just want to continue to get better.
Do you find it a challenge? So one of your, we think one of your best attributes and one of your jobs is culture setter, right? But when you are in charge of so many or overseeing so many things, your one-on-one time with people is probably more limited than you would want it to be. So how do you go about setting a culture when you don't have quite as much time with an individual as you may think you would, or as you may want to?
Yeah, you know, again, that's when you're big picture, you are able to seek out somebody that's going through a rough time, or that's doing really well, or you're finding opportunities to be able to do that. And you cannot talk to every single guy every single day. There's 90 guys on the team and then the people in the building, but it is being able to know who needs attention at the certain time. And I guess there's not a handbook for it. It's just like, man, this guy might be going through something, spend some time with him. It's being purposeful of doing it every single day, as far as trying to bring a guy to my office, try to go through the stretch lines, watching the tape, being able to point something out to individual guys on tape, being able to grab that guy after the meeting, after a team meeting where I did talk about him on tape and reconfirm what I talked about. So you might not be able to get individual time with every single guy, but you're trying your best to do that as much as you can. But really, your job is to set what the acceptable standard is, right? It's hey, here's what the standard is. Here's what the standard looks like, and here's what the standard can't look like, right? Whether that's tough, detailed, or together, which is the main things that we talk about, and you're constantly reinforcing that, right? So, you know, somebody had asked me, how do you kind of get into where your culture is? And I said, well, first thing you got to do is you have to come up with the things that you know are important for your business, you know are important for your family, whatever it may be. Because those are the things you'll constantly go back to. Tough, detailed, together. I think that's what I feel like is the constant, the things that are important for a football team. Then you have to be able to show what that looks like. And sometimes, you know, what does team look like? What does together look like? Pardon me. What does toughness look like? What does detail look like? And you have to be able to show what it looks like and what it doesn't look like. And then the third aspect of it, what I would told this a couple guys here that asked me this, is you have to be relentless, just relentless bulldog about what the standards met and when the standards not met. And so, and then most importantly, my message to anyone who asked me that is you better be living these things out yourself. And that's the most important thing. And so, that's, you know, it takes relentless work, but that's what you're trying to do. And I'm trying to do that every single day. So when I can't be able to have a one-on-one conversation with a player, they still know what's required of me as the head football coach by our messaging, by the team meeting every single day, et cetera.
Talk a little
long, long answer.
Nah, that's
it's good. A good answer.
That's a great answer.
It's
though.
A good answer.
Great answer. I want to get into a little bit of football here with you. You've mentioned the offense. Another new coordinator for you, even though you've worked with Kevin for many, many years. I'm wondering for yourself, being an offensive guy, what does Kevin bring to the table, to this offense that was so great last year, especially in a running game? What do you think he adds to the offense this year?
You know, Kevin has and I have been together for 8 years. Yeah. Or going on our eighth year, 3 in Indianapolis. This will be our 5th year. So Kevin's, you know, ideas that he's had, right? A lot of those are already in, right? A lot of those have been in because I haven't left just because Kevin was the pass game coordinator. I didn't say, hey, what are your, I'm not interested right. in your ideas. So his ideas were already in. But what Kevin, you know, obviously Kevin is what I admire about Kevin is how hungry he is for this job. Right. And he's went through different coordinators here. And it's his turn. And he is so hungry for this job. Like when I get here in the morning, he's here. When I leave at night, he's still here. And I don't make him do a time clock or anything, but I imagine he might be winning in that aspect. But he's so hungry for the job that, you know, the things that he's studied and the new wrinkles that he's put in, I've really admired how hungry he is. And that's what you want from your players. That's what you want from your staff. And the benefits of Kevin, you know, he's got great relationships. Kevin is a great relationship guy. And he's got great relationships with these players, you know, with Jalen, with our offensive line, all the offensive guys. And so, you know, whereas Kellen was coming in fresh, right? Well, yeah. Kevin's already got this relationship. You're already starting, you know, you're already starting out ahead because he has those relationships. And he's just got a great football mind and is always wanting to grow. So, yeah, I just think he's doing a really good job right now. And you want, and like, you know, obviously there's ups and downs as you go through training camp, but I admire how much he learns from when he, you know, feels like he makes a mistake to get better, or when I tell him he makes a mistake and he gets better. And he's doing a really good job, and he's a great football mind, good person, great relationships with the players. I think that's all really important.
After you guys won the Super Bowl, you're like a fiery, lot of personality guy. We used to joke that.
Thank you.
No, it's good. It's good.
Yes.
No, I'm a convert, man. I'm a very big. Like, I really appreciate how you run the team. I appreciate how you talk about it. I appreciate the culture stuff. One thing that we joked about was, all right, this is going to be the summer of Nick, right? We're going to see Nick in Avalon having a good time. You're going to have, like, it's going to be the best time ever. And it was the most quiet. We didn't get one summer of Nick moment. So I guess the question is, did you go into the offseason having won the Super Bowl with a concerted effort of, because you talk about setting an example, right? Was that in your mind that if I'm out there doing things, then it may reflect on the players? Did you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, you always, as the head coach, you always want to conduct yourself. You want to be yourself, I think, first and foremost, but you always want to conduct yourself how you want everybody to act. Like, you don't. So I wouldn't say I would necessarily thought about it. And it was just, I really, this whole entire off season, my mindset has been, how do I get better? Period. For instance, you know, we did a really good job of protecting the football last year. We did a really good job of taking it away, particularly in the playoffs. And when you know you're good at something like that, or tackling, or, you know, we were number one in the league in drops. Well, when you play a team, they're going to say to themselves, well, we can't turn it over versus the Eagles. So we better be better at taking care of the football. And we need to make these tacklers miss a little bit more. So we better be better with our yards after, you know, yards as a ball carrier. And so when you know your opponents have that mindset, you better have that same mindset of, how am I going to get better at the finer details? Because those are going to be, you know, when you're on top, people are going to be finding ways to try to beat you, whether it's scheme, whether it's fundamentals. And so my mindset was, how do we get a little bit better at tackling? How do we get a little bit better at taking the football away? Because I know we'll need those things coming into this season to be able to have the similar type of success that we had this year. And so that's all been my mindset. Like, I have a niece that's in seventh grade, and she was an all-state basketball player on the varsity basketball team this year. And I said, if you stay the same, like, you averaged 18 points a game or whatever, what it was. If you stay the same, you'll average 16 points next year a game. You won't average 18 again, so you have to get better. And I'm like saying this to her, and I'm like, well, hey, dummy, you better be thinking the same exact thing. So that's been my mindset, and I feel like that's always really been my mindset of not being satisfied with anything and just always trying to improve myself.
You did have some fun, though. I mean, like, as humans, sure. We want – okay, all right.
Just, yeah, I mean, like, the parade
was – just wanted to make sure.
The parade was awesome.
But even after the – like personal Nick time. Like – You're a Super Bowl champion. I just want you to at least have a week where you're like, ha-ha.
We had some vacations. All I don't right, know if I ever right, did that, right, but okay, like, but right. I had a couple vacations
all right,
that we were able to
sure.
to get out. So yeah.
All right. So we only have a couple minutes left with you. We have most important questions. Three quick ones. First of all, you have a great practice. The weather's great. You're driving home. The windows are open. What music is on the radio? And is there any chance WIP is on the radio instead of music?
I try to stay away from all media applications. Now, I will listen to WIP. I do like – one thing I do really like listening to is baseball games.
Okay. All right.
So I will
Fransky,
listen.
LA,
it's yeah. so like –
it's just relaxing.
It's very relaxing.
Yeah.
So I'm either on the phone calling
okay.
my dad or my brother or a friend.
Is there a song? Is there like a hyped up Nick just kicked ass at practice song?
I don't come in with the song. Like, and then I'm going to get amped. That's like it's late
right.
at night. I don't,
okay.
you know,
right.
so
okay.
I don't listen to as much music. It's talking
right.
or I do like listening to the Phillies games. I think that is whoever those guys, I don't know who those guys
Scott
are.
Scott Fransky and Larry
They
Anderson.
Do a good job.
They do a
they
great
do a
job.
Good job. I feel like I'm at the game and I'm excited for the Phillies to keep going this year.
Elliot Shore Parks, we have an award we give out to the beat writers called Eagles Insider of the Year. Elliot won last year.
Good for him.
Do you feel, but do you feel like he is bringing the same sort of energy that you guys are?
Are you implying that Elliot's content?
Look, all I want to do is make sure he's working hard. Yeah.
Hey, you guys talk to Elliot more than I do. I will try to make sure, like, because again, I want everybody in the building to have this growth mindset. And that goes for our media as well. So absolutely. I will make sure I say something to Elliot that you guys think he's content and he needs to have a growth mindset going into this season.
And pro,
I'm on it.
And pro or anti Elliot training camp statistics. Come on, man.
I like Elliot. I think you're setting me up. I do like Elliot.
No.
I'm a little anti the statistics.
That's fine. Thank you.
I'm a little anti the statistics.
So is everyone.
That's fine. All right, Nick. We appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, coach.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Good luck this season.
Thank you.
Well, we finally got to the meat of the interview at the end. Does Nick Sirianni like training camp statistics from Elliot? And although I believe he's an Elliot fan, the way that he talks about Elliot.
Sounds like it.
He does not like the training camp stats. Now, Elliot did say last year he believes that Nick said he did like the training camp stats.
Yes, but that was also public facing around some other peers. So maybe he didn't want to embarrass Elliot. He knew this instance with us, he could just be honest.
It was safe. It was a safe space.
And also, Jalen was playing better last game.
But that is a good point as well. He was setting a record. I can't tell you how different he seems now than when he started here. Nick Sirianni. He is so much more confident, and I mean, he should be. He's been to two Super Bowls. He's won one. But I mentioned this, I think, after we were done talking to him, is when I asked him the culture thing, he almost sounded like a public speaker, like a motivational speaker. Yeah. You know, he knew exactly where he's going and what he's doing. And I think it's not... You know, Jack asked earlier if we're ever going to get over, interviews and press conferences. I think it can show how a guy's mind works. And I think his handle on this part of it shows his handle on what he needs to do. And I think he's so much clearer on what his role is and how he can be a plus. I think he can explain it better. And I think that's why it sounds better.
And I also believe, you go back to those earlier years, maybe roles weren't clearly defined. There were some other things, behind the scenes, especially after Shane Steichen left. You had Brian Johnson here. Is he calling the plays? Is Nick interfering? Like those sorts of things. It seems like everybody is sort of fitting into their slot comfortably, and everybody's happy. Yep. Like even, we did the whole last year preseason, Jalen, Nick, are they speaking? Do they get along? This sort of thing. Even Jalen has been more complimentary of Coach Sirianni and being vocal in support of things that Coach Sirianni is doing as a culture tone setter and things of that nature. So it seems like everybody is sort of comfortable where they are.
Yep. And being through ups and downs as well. I think that helps.
They've gone through it. Yeah.
I think when they say pressure bust pipes or whatever, like I think it has brought them together because they didn't bust,
I agree.
I also think Nick would have been a burn the boats guy if we had asked.
100%.
Nick is a burn the boats guy.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.